My name is Joe Osbaker. That's J-O-E, the last name, I-O-S-B-A-K-E-R. This is the people's mic, helping me with the spelling of my name. And my mother thanks you, too, for that. I'm with the Coalition Against NATO G8 War and Poverty Agenda, or simply CANGATE. Are we ready to go? All right. Before we get started, we have a surprise guest who'd like to say a few words to Rahm Emanuel. Much to our surprise, Jacob Morley is here from Dickens' A Christmas Carol.
Oh, Rahm Emanuel! Oh, it's not too late. Grant us our permits. Even though you've been in office just a short time, you're forging a ponderous chain by now. Restrictions and permit denials, these will be your spiritual downfall. You have but one chance for reclamation. Oh, Rahm Emanuel, grant us our permits, so that we may have a lawful, peaceful protest, that people can, families can bring their children to, that we can all enjoy and have a chance to say what we feel about what is happening with NATO G8. If the time is running out, Rahm Emanuel, oh, give us our permits! Oh, we don't want to see another 68. We are peaceful people. Oh, we abhor violence. Help us to make this a safe scenario for all. Scrooge changed. He changed and went the right way. This is your chance. This is your chance to show what you're really made of. And support the First Amendment. Oh! Oh!
That was quite a surprise. And now I'm very happy also to be able to announce that we have scored a victory in our campaign for our civil liberties, for our democratic rights. Just 2 days ago, the Public Buildings Commission of the City of Chicago reversed itself and said in a memo to the American Civil Liberties Union, quote, that Daley Plaza, in answer to the question, will Daley Plaza be available as a forum for First Amendment expression during the summits? The answer is yes. The Daley Plaza, yes, that is a victory. The Daley Plaza will be open to public assembly and public activity during the G8 NATO summits in May 2012. This is a clear victory, a small but important step for all those of us who want to march against war and poverty when the generals and bankers and heads of states are here, on May 19th. And just to trace this back for a minute, on November 9th, MB Real Estate, which manages the Daley Plaza for the Public Buildings Commission, wrote to me and said, unfortunately, we are not approving any permits for the use of the plaza May 15th through 22nd, which was at that time the dates of the summits. 1 week later, many of us met with city officials, including the Office of Emergency Management and Communication, Gary Schenkel, and Deborah Kirby, of the CPD, the Deputy Commissioner, and the representatives of the city in that meeting refused our repeated questions. We asked them repeatedly, would we be permitted to hold a protest, a permitted protest, anywhere in the center of the city on November 16th, they would not make that commitment. But after bringing together all of the forces that support these protests, organized labor, community organizations, faith-based groups, civil liberties groups, and of course, Occupy Chicago. Not just Chicago, but national and international pressure as well to insist on our rights, the city has reversed itself. We applaud this, but it is only a first step. We must have actual permits to rally the tens of thousands of Chicagoans first and foremost. Most people who will be protesting are Chicagoans, not outside agitators, as a former mayor used to call them. But people from around the Midwest, around the country, and some internationally, we need permits to march where the summits are occurring. And now, after having marked that victory, now to speak about what we're up against, Andy Thayer will talk about the attacks on democratic freedoms that are in the ordinances that were presented by the mayor last week. Andy?
Hi, that's A-N-D-Y, T as in Tom, H-A-Y-E-R. I'm also, like Joe, with Cangate. And we're very gratified to have a reversal of the blanket rejection on the use of Daley Plaza that apparently the city fomented back in November. So this is indeed a victory, as Joe said. But nonetheless, there are very serious problems with the ordinances that are being proposed by the mayor. People have made note of the very dramatic increase in penalties for example, resisting arrest, what's interpreted as resisting arrest, things like this simply going limp. People have noted also the mayor's blanket use of being able to let contracts without competitive bidding. And all those are very serious issues. Unfortunately, what has been lost in the discussion about the new proposed ordinances is that one of the ordinances, 10-8-330, the Chicago Municipal Code, has been completely rewritten, unlike the others. Actually, the most dramatic changes are to that lengthy permit ordinance. All those changes are in favor of the city. Just to give you a few examples, the minimum penalty for violation of 10-8-330 is going to go from $50 to $1,000. Now, any Chicagoan who is reacting to, say, increases in parking meter rates or other so-called user fees would be objecting, say, maybe a 50% increase, but this is a 20-fold increase. The maximum penalty, which goes from $1,000 to $2,000, and also carries a 10-day jail term. So this is a very serious assault on the civil liberties issues here in Chicago. And any number of times that these sort of ordinances are proposed, the other side, if the history of past summits and other history in other cities is any guide, always says, oh, don't worry, this is just for the summit. We'll you know, once we get through this summit, don't worry about it, everything go back to normal, everything be hunky-dory. But over and over again, the history has been that these sort of ordinances become permanent. And they represent a direct attack on the civil liberties, as Joe said, of the millions of Chicagoans, as well as others who might want to not only protest against the G8 NATO, but protest against school closings, protest against shutdowns in mental health care clinics and so forth. So this is a very serious assault. I might also note there are a number of provisions in this ordinance, this proposed ordinance, which is probably going to be coming up for a vote on January 18th, that make it far more difficult for protest organizers to exercise the First Amendment rights, especially in the downtown area. Under this new proposed ordinance, virtually every assemblage of any size in the downtown area would be deemed a large parade. And under that, things like a requirement for $1 million insurance coverage for the city on the part of the protest organizers. A direct liability for any kind of damage that happens to city property during a protest, regardless of who commits the damage. And also provisions such as requiring to register in advance every single unit that participates in a parade, registering every single piece of sound amplification equipment before the parade even takes place. Now, anyone who has organized a protest in this city knows that, especially when there is a reaction to immediate events, whether you're talking about the passage of Proposition 8 or the beginning of yet another American war, we know that you cannot predict in advance how many thousands of people are going to be showing up in the streets, let alone what communities and organizations they're going to be coming with, let alone what kind of sound equipment they would be bringing. So these provisions of these ordinance, and we can go through the gory details during Q&A if you would like, are a direct assault on the First Amendment rights of the people of Chicago and anyone who visits this city. So while we applaud the victory today, we also are bearing in mind that these ordinances proposed by Mayor Emanuel must be stopped. This is a direct assault on all of our civil liberties. We did not ask for G8 NATO to come to this town. Only Mayor Emanuel, only President Obama, and perhaps a few others asked for that. We do not want our civil liberties attacked in the process. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you, Andy. In applauding the small but important victory, the concession from the city about the use of the Daley Plaza, we have to recognize the role of the legal team that's been representing us so far from the National Lawyers Guild, and here to represent them is Michael Deutsch.
My name is Michael Deutsch, and I'm with the National Lawyers Guild and also with the People's Law Office in Chicago, D-E-U-T-S-C-H. And we see this attempt to change the law and the ordinances as a preemptive attack on the rights of protesters and on the First Amendment. And to announce these ordinances and ask for the City Council to change the law preparing for the G8 conference and G8 meetings creates a very chilling effect on the ability of people to come here and to protest, and on the people of Chicago who are interested in protesting. And we believe that this type of attack on the First Amendment and civil liberties is against the Constitution and will be challenged at the appropriate time in the courts and in the public opinion. So we thank you for your being here.
Thank you, Michael. Michael spoke about the rights of people who wish to protest. Our next speaker is going to be one of our speakers to address why people want to protest. I think that it should be clear when you realize that most people in this town, in fact, most people on earth, are suffering from the policies and practices of the wealthy nations, including their wars and the expenditures on their wars, but also the austerity measures that that are being practiced in Europe. I know that term austerity is not used much in this country. I have a feeling it's coming at us. But I'd like to introduce Nadana Carter from the Southside Together. Organize Southsiders Together organized for power and the mental health movement to talk about their struggle. Nadana.
Thank you. My name is Nadana Carter, and since Rahm Emanuel has come to the city of Chicago, he
spell it.
Nadana, in apostrophe D-A-N-A, the last name C-A-R-T-E-R. I'm a part of the mental health movement. It's quite a large movement. We're looking at better than 46% of Americans documented have mental illness. In the city of Chicago, I would suspect it's larger than that, given the city council voting to close the mental health clinics. We have 12 mental health clinics now that are publicly operated. The mayor and the commissioner have decided they need to close 6 of those clinics. The problem with this is that we have people that are coming home from war. We have people that are, as they're closing mental health hospitals, there'll be no place for people to go. The public health clinics service tens of thousands of people every year. That's not including the family members that are affected. Children's caretakers are attending these clinics. Where will they go? There are a lot of people that are homeless that depend on the city for mental health services. Part of Mayor Emanuel's Healthy Chicago is to make sure that people are healthy. He's closing health clinics for the poor. Physical health clinics and mental health clinics will no longer exist in 2012 for poor people. He is giving away the clinic spaces to private providers. He claims he only will save $3,300,000. The problem here is that he's going to lose in excess of $100,000 when he gives away the property that the city owns to private providers. This man has come to the city and he is a true Grinch. He has taken everything from the people and demanded that they say nothing about it. We are fighting to keep all 12 mental health clinics open so that all of Chicagoans will have a place to come when they have stress. Thank you.
Our last speaker is a high school student. Her name is Jennifer Wolin. She's 17, and she attends the Dundee Crown High School, and she's a member of their Youth Labor Committee. And she's going to be talking about why she wants to march in May. Jennifer?
Jennifer Wolin, J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R. Wolin, W-O-L-A-N. Again, I'm 17 from Dundee Crown. So the reason why I know my students or my peers and I want to protest is because right now our civil liberties are being cut and we see it happening and we know that it's happening. That alone stands for why we will and demand our rights to protest. And I know since grade one, we've been all taught that we have the freedom to assembly, freedom of speech, and we all see it being cut right now. As of right now, I am currently reading a book from Lech Walesa from the Polish Solidarity, and it rings exactly what happened in Poland in the 1980s. And back then, they increased the power for law enforcement. And what happened? Exactly what's happening now. Law enforcement was given great power and a lot of people were hurt. So as saying that, I will read a note from the people, some higher authorities. I will read their names after their note. In several ordinances presented to the Chicago City Council on Wednesday, December 14th, Mayor Emanuel moved to greatly restrict the constitutionally guaranteed freedom to assemble. The restrictions proposed include doubling of fines for those arrested in protests and giving Chicago Police Superintendent McCarthy the power to deputize law enforcement personnel from among the FBI, for example, or to hire private security companies to video protests. There are a half dozen additional restrictions. Mayor Emanuel is trying to squelch the public's voice, intimidating those who would legally protest with a publicized bill for a heavy demand policing and a campaign to demonize those who might protest while simultaneously obstructing permits for rallies and marches. People of conscience need to speak out on behalf of free speech and civil liberties. Before the proposed ordinances is voted on, there needs to be full consideration of the restrictions on the right to protest. Aldermen should defend the U.S. Constitution and oppose the mayor's demand to rush this through City Council. And this is from Dick Simpson, former alderman, Miguel Del Valle, former city clerk, Alejandro Molina, National Borquio Human Rights Network, Bob Clark, Chicago Committee to Defend the Bill of Rights, Diane Gerardi, Professor of Law, Loyola Law School, G. Flint Taylor, People's Law Office, Janine Hoft, People's Law Office, Jeff Frank from Attorney at Law, Joe Mogel, People's Law Office, Kathy Kelly, Coordinator from Voices of Creative Nonviolence, Larry Greenfield, Executive Minister from American Baptist Churches of Metro Chicago, Len Kavice, Professor of Law, DePaul Law School, Len Goodman, Attorney and Adjunct Law Professor, Locke Bowman from MacArthur Justice Center, Mary Powers, Citizen Alert, Matt Pyers from Attorney at Law, Newland Smith, Episcopal Peace Fellowship, Pat Hill, African American Police League, Primito C. Racimo, Vicar, Church of St. Margaret of Scotland, Chicago, Thomas Anthony Durkin, Attorney and Counsel, Durkin and Robert, from Durkin and Roberts, Thomas Gerhardy, Clinical Director from Northwestern Law School. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny.
Whoops. We do have one final speaker. I'm sorry, I couldn't read my own notes. And that is, of course, what press conference about civil liberties in Chicago would be complete without a representative from Occupy Chicago. So please welcome Josh Connert.
My name is Joshua Connert, K-A-U-N-E-R-T, and I'm with Occupy Chicago. Rahm Emanuel is yet again trying to silence the voice of the people, this time by attempting to strip away our First Amendment rights with this proposed legislation that's headed to the City Council for a vote. Mayor 1% is making a coordinated attempt to intimidate those who would legally protest corruption and inequity in our government with a highly threatening increase of heavy-handed police tactics and a dramatic increase in executive power. Occupy Chicago rejects this campaign to demonize and punish those who seek to voice their grievances while simultaneously obstructing the permit process for rallies and marches. This legislation is not a temporary solution to the perceived problems that the mayor supposes this upcoming NATO G8 summit will present to the city of Chicago, but permanent change, permanent legislative change, that will restrict our freedoms indefinitely. Not only that, in the midst of closing our mental health clinics, cutting massive cuts to CTA budgets, he's accepting $55 million from state and federal government to pay for this increased security. We feel the people of conscience must be able to speak out on behalf of freedom and civil liberties. We urge the City Council to allow time for full consideration of the permanent restrictions on our First Amendment rights before any vote on such an ordinance as the one proposed by the mayor. The people of Chicago need aldermen of conscience to oppose Mayor 1% demand to push this ordinance down our throats.
Thanks, Josh. So, in closing, I'll just point out that a month ago we were up here, and at the time, I predicted that Cangate and all those who want to protest in the spring would win permits, that we would be victorious in our fight for our rights, and I think that this concession by the city is evidence of the onward march in our struggle, and again, we remain confident that we will be given the right to march to within sight and sound of the summits come May 19th. So now we're available for any questions.
The past summits, for instance, Toronto, have run up costs of $100 million for additional security, $100 million. What is the expected cost here, if you have any idea? And how is the city going to pay for it? Will it be more cuts, or does Rahm have deep pockets?
It's an interesting question. One of the issues around the mayor's plans for these summits is the role of World Business Chicago, a public body that doesn't seem to have to abide by the laws governing public bodies. That is, their meetings are not open. They don't disclose their budgets, even though they've been given over $1 million in funding. And oddly enough, it's a public body made up of millionaires. Why do they need $1 million of funding to prepare to host their peer group from around the world? What is happening is the city is not forthcoming with their budget for this. And you know, it's another example of the mayor's operating behind closed doors.
My question is, do you think that that these new proposed ordinances are so extreme so that when they are brought back a little, that we'll be grateful that you know, that say instead of increasing the minimum fine by 40 times, that they're only going to increase it by 5 times or 3 times, and then we will be so grateful and say, oh, we won a victory? I mean, is that...
Well, that is a very typical ruse that the city uses whenever it's going to do a dramatic cut, say, in the CTA or any other program. It proposes draconian cuts and then just gives us savage cuts instead. I think that we really have to push back now. This is outrageous that they're using the excuse of these summits to really penalize the people of Chicago who are attempting to protest against a myriad of very, very serious attacks on us. I mean, the NATO and G8, we have to remember who these bodies are. They represent, if people said, the 1%, the 1% who've given us the wars, the 1% who's given us the bank bailouts. And, you know, if history is any judge, we will be seeing more of those savage attacks, and people around the city will be wanting to protest not just against NATO and G8, but cuts in mental health clinics, cuts in schools, and so forth. And so now is the time to protest, to call your alderman and demand that he or she vote against these ordinance changes, because we can't wait until January 18th when the city council votes. Now is the time to protest.
Do you think that because they cut down the number of days of the meetings from 8 to 3, that those meetings have just been driven underground now, and they'll be doing the same thing only by closed conference call and so on and so on, so that they won't be public in the city?
Well, I, my personal feeling about the cutting down of the number of days is that there is a falling out amongst thieves, that basically G8 can't agree about anything. NATO is pretty much already agreed on which wars it's going to do, so why do they really need to have multiple days for their meetings? And so they have cut them down a great deal. But nonetheless, we still have, in the words of Martin Luther King, the greatest purveyors of war and violence in the world today, coming here to Chicago in May. And people have got a right and a duty, frankly, to protest against them when we live in a world where half the population lives on less than $2 a day. Thank you.
Thank you. Great. Thank you. Everyone.